Good morning. And once again, Happy Easter. Would you turn to someone around you and just say, Happy Easter? What a joy-filled day it is, and it's great to see all of you on this Easter Sunday. A few years ago, I was invited to preach at a Taiwanese church in San Francisco, California. And this was a congregation that was made up almost entirely of ethnic Taiwanese people. And over the years, they had also developed a separate English ministry for the second and third generation people whose cultural background was Taiwanese, but whose language of choice was English. And so it was to this service at their church that I was invited to preach that Sunday. And at one point during the service, I noticed that among all these Taiwanese people there in the back, there was one African or maybe African-American man who had slipped in. And he really stood out. And as far as I could tell, no one had greeted him. No one had welcomed him in any way. No one had even said anything to him. And I thought to myself, here is this person who's so clearly different, who's clearly a visitor, and they're missing an opportunity to welcome him. And so when I got up to preach that morning in the pulpit, I thanked them for having me, and I made a special welcome. I said, and you, sir, in the back, we're glad you're here today. Welcome. And then I went on to preach my sermon. Well, afterwards, during the coffee hour, people were hanging around drinking coffee and talking. And I saw that this man was still there. And so I went up to him, and I said, hey, welcome. It's good to see you. Is this your first time at the church? And he looked at me. He said, no, I'm a member of this church, but it must be your first time, isn't it? And, you know, I figured that everyone in that church would look the way that I expected them to when I came, and how surprised I was to see who was actually there. I was surprised by who I met. And maybe you're feeling a little bit of surprise this morning here on Easter as you look around and see all of the folks who are here worshiping together. Maybe you're here for the very first time today, and you're surprised to see people from 20 countries around the world gathered together in one place to worship. You might be surprised to discover that a place where we seek to know Jesus more deeply and then to reach out into God's world in love. You might be surprised. Well, whether you're a longtime member or a first-time visitor today, you are welcome. And the question to you is, are you open? Are you open to hearing this old Easter story one more time? Are you open to God having a word for you in your life? Are you open to deeper meaning in this day than you've known before? Are you open? As we begin today, let's open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God died, was entombed, and rose again on the third day. Fall afresh on me this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Although we often see Easter through the chirpy and cheerful lens of Hallmark cards and Hershey bars, you know, the day didn't start out that way. It didn't. It started out, according to John's Gospel, early in the morning on the first week, or the first day of the week while it was still dark, when Mary went down to the tomb. It starts out at that time of day that the Spanish or Portuguese might call madrugada, so early in the morning that it is still dark outside. And here comes Mary, a lone woman, deep in despair over the loss of her dear friend Jesus. And she's Mary Magdalene. You've heard of her. Mary Magdalene shows up many places in Scripture, shows up many places through the Gospel stories. She's known as one of Jesus' closest followers. And throughout art history, in paintings and murals, Mary Magdalene is easily distinguished from other biblical women. You see, most women in art history and paintings and such will be portrayed with their head covered in the traditional style of the Middle East. But Mary Magdalene is shown with her hair uncovered, flowing down on her shoulders. Unlike most women in those paintings who have dark hair and darker features, Mary Magdalene is portrayed as having red hair, or orange hair, coming down over her shoulders, worn free. These are suggestive features for Mary. Especially in the works of Western art, they are meant to be suggestive that somehow Mary is associated with a checkered past. This is a woman with a past. She's remembered as someone who's made some mistakes in her life, maybe made some bad choices, maybe had a wrong relationship or two along the way. Sound like anyone you know. But how powerful it is that this same Mary Magdalene, this woman with a complicated history, appears as such a central character in our Easter story today. It is to her that Jesus first appears, as Letitia told us earlier. And Jesus gives her a task: go and tell the others, the first Easter sermon. The past is the past on Easter, and with the rising of Christ, Mary Magdalene now has a new future. Consider also the other unlikely person who was there that morning, Peter. Do you remember him? The last time we saw Peter, it was that night in which Jesus was betrayed. And Peter was asked three times, "Do you know Jesus?" And three times he said no. Three times he denied knowing his best friend in the whole world. Peter saved his own skin that night that Jesus was arrested by distancing himself. But at Easter, the past is the past. So Peter, that disgraced leader of the disciples, Peter, the one who lost his nerve, Peter, who was about to join Judas as the second villain of the story, comes racing back onto the scene, comes racing into the tomb, comes racing into a new relationship with the risen Lord. At Easter, the past is the past, and we are given a new future. There is a place here for people like Mary, people with a complicated life story. There's a place here for people like Peter, people who weren't as faithful as they hoped they would be. People here like you and like me, people who need to know today that our past is no object to the future that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, a few months ago, Lisa and I were out in California at her 10-year high school reunion. And this is Lisa who was singing so beautifully up here a few minutes ago. And if you didn't know this, Lisa and I went to the same high school, although we were a couple years apart, so we didn't know each other. But we had a lot of friends in common, and a lot of the old teachers who we both had were going to be at this event. So I was excited to go back with her for this. And reunions are kind of strange things, aren't they? Whether it's a high school reunion or a college reunion or a family reunion, depending on your family. You know, people are sort of the same, but kind of a bizarro version of them old selves, their old selves. Something like that. Well, we went to this reunion, and one of the people who showed up at this reunion was one of the old teachers, Mr. Schlack. And Mr. Schlack had been a Peace Corps volunteer in Central America, and then after that he had worked with gangs in East LA, and then finally after that he ended up as a Spanish teacher at our high school. And every day Mr. Schlack would ride his motorcycle to school. And then he would tell us stories about life in Guatemala and all the things he had done. You can imagine, Mr. Schlack was the coolest teacher in school, wasn't he? And so at this reunion, I went up to Mr. Schlack, who I held in this high regard, and I said, "Hey, Mr. Schlack, it's good to see you." He said, "Oh, just call me Brian." "Okay, Mr. Schlack, whatever you say." And he said, "No, really, that was a long time ago. I want you to call me Brian." And so I did, and it was the beginning of a change in our relationship. Past is past. And that's the second thing about Easter. It changes our relationship with God. In the story, you remember Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And then someone who she didn't quite recognize says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And she mistook him for the gardener and said, "Sir, if you've taken the body away, tell me where you've laid him and I will come and take care of it." And then Jesus, the one she thought was a gardener, says, "Mary." She turns and says, "Rabboni," which John translates for us as rabbi or teacher. This is the way that the followers of Jesus addressed him throughout his ministry, throughout his life, rabbi. For them, Jesus was their teacher, the one who helped them in their fledgling state, the one who pushed them and challenged them from their limited perspective. So rabbi is one of the most familiar and beloved ways that people come to know Jesus. But you know, this exclamation by Mary, where she calls him Rabboni or Rabbi, this is the very last place in all the New Testament where anyone calls Jesus Rabbi. From here on out, those disciples who knew him and that early church who come to believe in him will call him Lord. They'll call him the risen Lord Jesus, no longer just Rabbi, but now Lord. At Easter, there's a change in our relationship with God. The past is the past, and we have a new way of relating. So now Jesus is not simply our teacher, but also our Lord. This is the earliest and simplest Christian confession of faith. Jesus is Lord. And that's part of the Easter message. That Jesus is not just a good man or a prophet or a teacher, though the death of someone like that would be worth remembering. That Jesus is not even just another saint, like St. Paul or St. Nicholas, or St. Martin Luther King Jr., or even St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Somehow Jesus is different. The Easter proclamation is that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is risen today. The grave could not hold him, death could not keep him, and by his dying and rising, he gives us hope for the future. That's the third thing that I want to tell you about Easter today, that not only is past the past, not only does it change our relationship, but the resurrection gives us hope for our future. Now, hope for the future is in short supply these days, isn't it? If you're like me and you watch the nightly news or read the daily papers, you get a sense that our world is in more trouble than we know right now. There's warfare and terrorism without. There's economic crisis within. There are bleak reports from battlefields and boardrooms alike. And we are left wondering, is there any word of hope for me in these harsh realities that I face? Are you facing harsh realities today in your life? Maybe you worry about your job security or the job you've already lost. Maybe you have anxiety over an upcoming graduation into an unknown future, or perhaps a retirement with an ever-shrinking nest egg. I wonder if your eyes are dimmed this morning with the memory and pain of a loved one lost, or maybe of the creeping of cancer, or the uncertainty of surgery that is looming for you. Are you facing hard realities in your life, and are you wondering, is there some word of hope in the midst of it all? Well, our resurrection hope at Easter is this, that Christ who has died is risen today, and that we who are in Christ, though we die, may also rise again. Just right when we thought the harsh realities of life were going to overtake us, overwhelm us, and have the last word, the resurrection of Jesus tells us this is not the case after all. That we have hope for the future. And it is this Easter hope, this resurrection hope, in which we stand this day. I hope that this Easter hope, this resurrection hope, will dwell with you today and as you go on into your week. As you go out from this place in the knowledge that the past is the past, it doesn't have the power to hold you anymore. And that your relationship with God is changed, not just as one who teaches you, but also one who saves you. And third, that you would know that you have hope for a future in Christ. Not just in this world, but the next. Not just in the sweet by and by, but in the today and the now and this week. If you hold on to that hope this day, I proclaim it to you again. Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen.